All right, so we have a very famous man in the studio, and there was a lot going on before the cameras were set up. I think he was very confused. Chico Bean, welcome to the Dana Cortez Show. Hey. How you doing, sir?
I am well, and I like how you made it seem like everything that was going on stopped. It didn't. It's still going on. Everything that I was confused about is still happening. I don't know what's happening in here.
Can
but
I tell you what happened? Can I be honest with you?
Yes.
We were supposed to get a text message when you arrived so that we could welcome you, always clean the mic down, let everybody know it's all germ-free in here. Like, what's really up? What's happening? I didn't even have all
She's
my
Mexican.
Hair in.
She's got to make sure everything's clean.
I got everything's clean in my house, man. Okay. Everything's clean. I can't even have a cleaning lady because I got to clean before she comes over. But anyway, we didn't get a text message. So everything, the energy was thrown off.
Yeah,
you know
I don't know
saying,
why
right?
you didn't get a text message. Neither did I. I just happened to come downstairs and a white man was waiting on me. Then I got in the studio and seen a big Samoan looking dude with a bonnet on. And I said, I feel like they're ready to try to rob me in here, man.
Because
the space is too closed off. It's a random white dude, lovely Mexicana, and a big old Samoan. And a white man that picked me up. I was like, I don't know if we're going to call Captain Planet or what we great doing here. But it is very strange.
Do you always get in the car with random white people?
No, I don't. But, you know, when you out here, that's pretty much a good idea because you see random white people more than anywhere else that I've been in a long time.
Oh, that's for sure.
Yeah,
that's for sure. There's a lot of
random white people out
there. Yeah, where do you live right now?
I live in North Carolina.
Okay. Is there a lot of white people
in North Carolina?
Yeah, there is a lot of white people, but they usually stay to themselves. They don't usually welcome black people in their cars.
I get it.
It's different in North Carolina.
It's different. Yeah. I appreciate it, but you know, I'm happy to be here for sure.
So are you from North Carolina? Because there was conflicting.
No, I'm from Washington, D.C.
Okay, that's what automatic said.
I went to college in North Carolina.
There was all this
because they have Walmart.
Oh, okay.
They don't have Walmart in D.C., right?
Well, they didn't when I was growing up. Yeah. When I first went to North Carolina, you know, I went to Walmart the first day I was down there and saw the price on that Captain Crunch and said, I'm never leaving.
People always want to give Walmart a hard time, but that's where I get a lot of my groceries. I'm sorry.
Yeah, me too.
They got good prices on jalapeno. They got good prices on everything we buy. Toilet paper.
Yeah, they have the self-checkout, so you can get a jalapeno for the price of a toilet paper.
No. See how you're doing?
No. I didn't say you. I'm just saying it's available if that's what you're
into. It could happen.
But you like self-checkout?
Yeah.
I'm anti-self-checkout.
You anti-self-checkout? Way to let people know you don't steal. I'm not. I am definitely not against self-checkout. No disrespect, Walmart, but keep them in there. And take them cameras off, try to make us feel bad looking at ourselves when we're stealing. So.
I saw two women get busted. They had stole $150,000 from Walmart from the self-check. I'm like, that must have stole a lot because $150,000 from Walmart?
That's a lot of jalapenos.
No, she tried to scan a couch. Yeah, she put the couch check up under your cot. There was a couch under there. That's the only way you get $150,000 worth of stuff out of there at one time. Was it at one time?
No, it was. They had been doing it. It was like a scam. Her and her friend were doing it. They'd been doing it for a long time. They got busted. It was a big felon. They went to prison.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. $150,000, yeah. I mean, I'm sure they had plenty of commissary because, you know, that's usually what they were stealing out of there. about thievery.
Okay, look. Let me ask you something. You're a parent. How do you balance parenting with all the travel you do? Because you just said you came back, I think, from Baltimore?
Yeah, Baltimore. Yeah.
How do you do that?
Well, luckily for me, my daughter was, you know, there. I'm active with my daughter. Aww. So she was able to know and, you know, kind of watch me throughout the process. So she remembered when I wasn't going anywhere and wishing I was going anywhere. So now she understands.
She's happy
she
and gets excited.
She's 14 now. She's in high school.
Aww.
So she's not impressed by any of the stuff that I do. I'm just dad to her. And,
it makes
it easier for me because even though I'm gone a lot, I try to make sure that I compensate for the time that I miss. And whenever I'm home, I always go get her and we go get our nails done. Whatever she want to do.
Oh, I love that.
You know what I mean? All the way. So, and I really think now as a parent, your main goal is just to be a bigger influence on your children than the internet is. And
oh,
I think
God.
I've
Isn't
accomplished that,
the truth?
That. Yeah, so.
If you watch the internet, it's so much bad. And you got to pay more attention to kids and make sure they know there's more good out there in the world.
Yeah,
there
the
really
world
is.
Outside is still outside.
Yes.
The internet is kind of, you know, put them in a trance in a sense. So I feel like as a parent these days, if you could be more influential on your kids than the internet, if they get around you and want to put their phone down and be more engaged with you, then stick, you know, see you and like, what's up? And then go back into their phone and you're doing a good job.
We got a 15-year-old. So we know exactly what you're going through.
She can't, you know, everything we do is embarrassing or whatever. Just take me to do whatever. How do you feel about like boyfriends and all that? Has that
My daughter had has a boyfriend, okay. Which is crazy. You know, he's 6'6", like 200 something pounds. in the ninth grade, 14 years old. I was like, ah, hey, man. She introduced me to him. I was like, hey, come in, man. I just want to let you know you ain't going to be working with that 6'6" monster in my house. It's not going to happen, Sam.
Yeah.
Nope,
yeah.
Nope. You can kiss on the forehead. That's as far as you can go till you move out. But, you know, I understand it.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, you can't stop it.
No.
And if you do, they're going to go do what you don't want them to do.
My daughter's a much better human being at 14 than I was. What I was doing at her age, whoa. Yeah. I'm glad there was no documentation. I would have been a felon at 14. Ain't no way in the world. A felon and a father. The double F.
I was a mother at 15. I always tell people, it's true. If a camera followed me around, I would have been canceled.
Yeah,
so,
all the way.
Because all the mistakes I made, they're not mistakes, they're lessons. All the lessons I learned, you know, all of those things. These kids are better.
Yeah.
I was having a conversation with my daughter about that. She's like, Mom, crop tops, that doesn't mean anything. We're having, you know, teen pregnancy is down. It's true.
Yeah.
They live different than we did.
They did, because they getting all of, they got pocket porn.
Like, yeah, exactly.
I mean,
you can see everything they want.
If I would have had pocket porn when I was a little boy in the 90s, I probably would have jerked my private off my body. I'd have beat
there would have been no reason to leave the house.
I'd have beat it off my body. I would have never left. Like, crack the door. What you want?
I'm busy.
Leave me alone in here.
What's that smell?
What's that smell? Don't worry about it. I've been in here for 3 days straight. Don't ever knock on my door again.
I feel so sorry for mothers of teen boys.
Yeah, I mean, you got to understand, like, they're just, you know, and I think that the search for it, that's just using pornography as an example, the search for it was the thrill, because you had to find it. It was your mama, your daddy, your uncle, somebody lived at the house with you. You had to go to a friend's house and didn't have it.
Go steal it.
There you go, Walmart. But but now it's just readily available. So I think the instant access kind of can deter a little bit because, you know, you oversaturated the market with how available it is. But still, if we would have had it, I tell people all the time, nothing that kids do today should surprise anybody who was born or raised in the 90s or back, because we were way worse than these kids.
How do you co-parent? How's that? Is that a good relationship?
I mean, yeah, you know, you gotta make sure that you put yourself in a position to look at it from the other person's perspective. So I always give my daughter's mom the credit that she has to do the day-to-day things that I don't necessarily have to deal with. Of course, I provide and make sure that they're
environment is,
but she gotta, if the stomach hurt or if the foot hurt or if mommy, I got a question, that's who she has to see daily.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I always give her grace in that regard, and she does the same with me being able to get out here.
I think it's big that people now are doing a lot more better co-parenting than you used to see. There used to be a lot of arguments at Walmart when you pull up to exchange your kids.
Yeah, well, you know? I mean, that's crazy. Yeah, you dropping your kids off like a dope deal. But, you know, I didn't have my father. My father got murdered when I was 2 years old.
Oh,
so
damn.
I never had that relationship. So I'm really creating the blueprint because I didn't have one. So now I kind of get to create it the way I want to. I say all the time, I didn't have my father, but I also didn't have to live up to what he wanted me to be.
Right.
So therefore, I'm able to create my own narrative. And in doing so, I'm able to set an example that I feel is more peaceful for me and mine. And I like that.
I like that aspect, the way you're talking about it. I didn't have my father, but because he chose not to be in my life, right? So there was always this, I don't think there was a void, because you can't miss what you don't have.
Right.
But at the same time, subconsciously, there's obviously a reason we all have two parents, right?
Right.
So there was always a search and seeking approval from people. And so, you know, that
Do you think that made it easier for you to get into comedy? Because you didn't have anybody telling you, no, you can't do this, you can't, because I...
No, what made it easier for me to get into comedy was knowing that I couldn't work a regular job for what they was going to pay me. I was a communications major in college and went to get a job at the news station that I interned at. They told me I was going to be making $6.25 an hour part-time. I was like, no, I'm not. So that was really the motivating factor. That and, you know, I had never been to my father's gravesite before I graduated college. I went and he didn't have a headstone. And at that point, I was like, okay.
Oh, my gosh.
He didn't even do enough. Whatever had happened to him before his life was taken, he didn't do enough for him to be able to get a piece of stone and let the world know he existed. I can't go out like that. I can't be a patch of grass. I got to do something. I didn't know what it was, but I got to do something. And working for somebody else ain't it.
Yeah.
So, you know, I had went to the open mic at the Greensboro Comedy Zone, which is my home club, and they had an open mic every first and second Thursday of the month. I went the first Thursday and watched everybody bomb. I was like, oh, I can at least do this bad. And And then I went back the next week and I went on stage and did 4 minutes. And it seems unreal or cliche. When I got off stage, I said, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. And I've been doing it ever since that day.
So how did you get from that point to wilding out?
Auditioning. My homegirl, one of the people that I consider to be a guardian angel on earth to me, my homegirl Dolly Bishop, who is now the president of the Black Effect Podcast Network. Okay. Uh-huh. Now, at this time, we were just, you know, two young college students that graduated trying to make it. She ended up going and being Nick Cannon's assistant.
Oh, wow.
And
oh, wow.
When she became Nick Cannon's assistant, he did a show called The Fresh Faces of Comedy in 2010. I went up, did the show, did really well. When I found out that he was bringing Wildin' Out back, I had that inside with her to find out.
That's 6 degrees. Yeah, there's always a 6 degrees.
She told me it was real, and I started the audition process and got on from there.
You know what I want to say? Even though your father wasn't present, his presence brought you here. That moment. Did you buy him a gravestone?
Yes.
I knew it.
Yeah. Yes, I did.
Because you're a good man. I could tell.
I did. I just hope that they put it on top of the right person. It was so long ago.
It was just a patch of grass.
I don't know. I just hope they put it on top of the right dude.
My mom did the same thing with all our family. She's like, I think this is where your wedding is. I think this is. Yeah, I mean, you don't know.
You don't really know. But it's really because, you know, death is a problem for the living. So it's really for us. So, you know, if it ain't on the right person, I mean, at least I know it's on somebody.
Just real quick, can I ask you, is it better to go against Nick Cannon or be on his team?
You know what? At this point, I think it's more challenging to be on his team for me. Yeah, than to go at him. It's like, if you watch the show, it's pretty much nothing left. I mean,
there's nothing left for you to say.
He keeps giving us stuff to say.
Have you met any of his kids?
The original ones.
The OGs. The twins.
You met the twins.
I met the twins. The twins and his the next
the
one.
The third. Yeah, the son. Yeah, because he got a boy, girl with Mariah, and then he has a third one. How many is it now?
I don't know.
12, I think, right? 12 total. Total, yeah.
My grandma had 11.
Yeah, automatically. Yeah. It's
but
like
she
this.
Had 11.
She had with 11 one kids man. With one man. Yeah.
She had 11.
If Nick Cannon was a woman, he would have got a lot of. Yeah, I mean, it's real.
It's not possible, though, if you're a woman. You get like.
Oh, no, I just tell a story.
I mean, but not in that time frame.
Oh, no, yeah.
No, not in that time frame, but you could do it. My dad had, like, I don't know how many kids because I don't know him, but he had kids with his wife, my mom, all kinds of people.
That's what I mean. Like, as a man, you could do that. Like, I can get you pregnant. Well, not, no disrespect to your wife.
I know what you
but
mean.
But I can get you
10
pregnant.
10 girls at the same time.
Today.
Yeah, I get it.
You get pregnant today, you can't get pregnant again at least another 10 and a half, 11 months.
Yeah.
So just the sheer amount of numbers.
But even if it was a woman at 6 kids, she would have been canceled and called a hoe and a whore and a bitch. And
I mean, it's that double standard. You
it's
know
so
mean?
Wrong.
I just was talking
it's
about,
so wrong.
I was just talking about the double standards of the world. And some of them work in your favor, some of them don't. Like, for example, like you just said, a woman who has 6 kids, she'd be a whore, and then the guy that has a whole bunch of kids is okay.
Nobody cares.
But also, on the flip side, if me or any of us was in public and we accosted you and grabbed you in an uncomfortable way, we're going to jail. But a woman can come up and just sexually harass the shit out of us. And nobody,
how many times have you been sexually harassed?
All the time. I mean, women, you wouldn't fucking a nightmare. I mean, just coming up and... I'm talking about just
I'm stealing that
disrespectful.
Well, why don't you report them?
I mean, to who?
Nobody gives a shit.
Who gives
if
a
man.
Fuck if it's a man? So who am I gonna call? Like, hey,
that woman but, grabbed my nuts.
Hey, this lucky lady, you. This grand tried to grab my dick. Lucky you, nigga. What the fuck?
But you could never. You're not gonna raise your. You know it. The double standard. Come on, that's not even real. Your daughter, she got to worry about going to the club and somebody slipping her something. You don't got to worry about that.
Shit. If you're a certain type of man, you do. You maybe not slipping you something, but you have to worry about somebody trying to get you for what you've accosted. Like, one of the things that, another double standard that works in a woman's favor, right? It doesn't matter. Like, you saw the back and forth about the Sierra outfit. That
yes,
did.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
So that, in my opinion, like, you see what he gets to get at home, you get to get that kind of visual.
Yeah,
like,
what he got.
But for him to do that, he's going to jail. If he couldn't walk out with the see-through drawers and his dick print showing, like, that's fucking, like, ah! You know what I mean? You can't do that. That as a man, it's
you've
just
obviously
not,
never been to the Tenderloin in San Francisco.
I mean, but see, but I mean, but I'm talking about like at the Vanity Fair Awards. Yeah. Like you can't do that.
Yeah, okay.
So it's just it's that double standard of you know it they work both ways. But that is one that I don't understand that I don't necessarily agree with because hoes are amazing. Like I don't understand why they get such a bad rap. Like it's
makes the world go round is what
yeah,
I say.
It's, they're so fun. I think I know what it is. I think the reason why hoes get a bad rap is because women don't like how fun hoes make things. What? Women who aren't hoes.
But wait a minute. Well, I don't think
don't,
a woman.
They don't think they like hold on.
How, I don't think don't a woman like how, who enjoys sex is a hoe, though. A woman that enjoys sex is not a hoe. That's why I wanted to
no,
come back
no,
around.
I'm not
she's just a human
that,
being, like any other person.
No,
you know
I'm
what I'm saying?
I'm not saying that a woman that has a lot of sex is a hoe. I'm just saying they get the stigma of being
they
hoes
do, and it's ridiculous.
Because of how fun they make it. Like, hoes are fun. You know, you always hear people
it's
say.
It's always a party.
You always hear people say that women say, that's my brother or that's my friend. The hoes are really good friends because the hoes aren't going to cause any detriment about what the men are trying to do.
All these men are going,
For real. Like, think about it. When a hoe show up, it's like, you ever been somewhere and it ain't no hoes? It's like,
it's not fun.
It's like, what are we doing?
It's not
here?
A party.
Like, where the hoes? And then when the hoes come, it's like, woo. But nobody goes woo when the
so
women
you,
show
in
up.
Your...
You know what I mean? When the ladies,
hey,
when
Dana,
the sophisticated.
I know you hate to hear this, but it's just the truth.
When the sophisticated ladies show up, it's like, oh, here they come. Hello, ma'am.
Yeah.
How are you? Nice to meet you. Which is just, you know, that's how it works. The hoes make things fun.
I just don't think that a woman who enjoys sex should be stereotyped as a bad
person.
But
she's not a hoe. That's
no,
not a hoe.
I don't, it's not a hoe.
That's not a hoe.
A hoe is, to me, is the definition of a hoe has been, you know, has been diluted. A whore is a woman who has sex
for
money.
Money. Okay, that's different.
That's
right.
A whore.
Yes.
The hoes is the hoes.
It's
that's different.
Fun.
A whore is the person you're talking about. A hoe is just a fun, loving woman who ain't tripping about nothing. One, you might not even have sex with her. Sex might not even cross your mind. But
she's there. She's a she's fun. She's a
fun.
Friend.
She's cool.
A bro.
The hoes
that
get
you
the
might
hoes.
Sleep with.
She's the hoes will get the hoes.
They'll bring the other girl.
The hoes get the hoes.
Yeah.
The hoes, like if you got a homegirl that's the homegirl and she one of the hoes.
Yep.
She gonna go get the hoes. You ain't even gotta worry about her because she knows how to get her. They're fun. That's the only, that's why they get that bad rap because they show up and they have all this fun and then the regular women be like, why are y'all having so much fun over there with all those hoes? And now they try to make you feel bad for being with them. I'm telling you, man, I've researched this.
Well, now I want to be a hoe.
I'm sorry. Man.
Not in that way, but automatic, but I want to be a friend. I want to be a person that
Dana.
People say, she's
Dana
fun.
Dana coming. Yeah, she can show
she's
up.
She's fun.
Yeah, she can show up. You ain't got to have
You're the fun girl with all the hoe qualities. Let's say that.
Okay, I'll take that.
Like a hoe got to be single, right?
Best of both worlds.
Give no, yeah. Like, no responsibility, just all fun, right?
Yeah, it's all fun.
Because everybody loves Dana. She's a smart woman, and she will come and woman you up. Don't get me wrong. She will.
That's a skill.
Yes.
That's a skill.
But at the same time, like, part of the reason I was attracted to her was because she was fun, too. Like, I could go out and have fun with her and not be worried about, like,
what
oh,
you gonna say when y'all
yeah,
in the car.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. Like, oh, my God. When you, talk, when you were DJing, that girl came to talk to you.
I don't
and
give
I,
a shit. That's
like,
why
that
he don't wear a ring.
That.
I'm trying to get the bag. You know, if he's not wearing a ring, if he's wearing a ring, ladies are like, oh, you know, I don't care. I know.
See,
I trust him. If he's going to go.
We've been married for 15 years.
You the home. Like, no disrespect. But I hate that you even had to say that.
I can't stand that behavior. It's wrong. It says more about yourself than your person. You got to be able to trust your person. If your person steps out, that's on them.
Right.
Not anybody else. It has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with the other person. It's their responsibility to value our relationship.
Yeah, there you go. I mean.
And a ring ain't going to make one bitch.
Hell
no.
No.
No, not at
it's
all.
It's not.
Not at all.
It's not.
I totally agree.
That's how much you respect each
it's
other.
Just, it's like you said, those double standards working that way. Like, I just was having a conversation. We were talking about the Russell Wilson Sierra thing. And I don't think it's that big of a deal. But at the same time, what's valuable is, you know, is never up for debate. Like, what we had, Dick, we ain't on air. Dick ain't got no value.
Yeah.
Like, you, nobody's going.
That's what automatic to, always
says. No, it's nobody.
Like, there ain't no male strip clubs because nobody's paying for that.
Nobody's paying for dick. But on the other hand, vagina is one of the three commodities that can be sold anywhere on the planet.
Most
guns, gold,
in the world.
And pussy.
That though,
Those three things can sell anywhere. So you think about how easy it is. How easy it is for a woman versus a man. Like, for example, all you have to do is just walk down the street. Before you get a couple of blocks, somebody's going to be like, hey, man, hey, I know you're not walking. Dana, oh, my God, it's you. All three of us can walk down the street.
Miles.
No woman is going to be like, hey, baby, did you eat today? None of that stuff. Like,
but we don't necessarily, we'll tell you, though, we don't necessarily want that either, though. Sometimes it's scary. When a man does it, I mean, it's a scary situation to be running at night and somebody pulls up, you know, hey, what's going on?
And strike fear at the same time.
It is. Yeah. We got to always watch ourselves. Your daughter, you're going to tell her, don't walk home alone. Don't leave your drink at the club alone. Don't, because she's got to watch for men.
My thing is, I always tell my daughter, watch your surroundings. Obviously, any person, but for her specifically, watch your surroundings. And I'm sorry, you can't trust men.
Yeah,
but that's awful.
But my mama told me the same thing in regards to women being a man. So you just don't get the same grace because as a man, it's not looked at as the same. But as a man, the type of things that you have to worry about, like somebody putting a paternity suit on you that you never had sex with,
you're right.
And like, for example, I always use this as an example, just like green rooms, right? I'm Chico Bean. I have been working since August 23rd, 2008, building my name to be somebody who could sit across from you and have a conversation about what I'm doing in Arizona.
People are interested in what you're doing.
But that has taken years of work for me to continue, and I'm still working towards it.
Somebody could take that like that,
and a woman who I've never, ever seen before can make her way into the green room that it took me years to build simply because she has a pussy.
That is scary. But most women won't do that. You know that. Most women won't do that. No, it's true. There are people that will.
No, listen.
But most women won't.
As far as us, I take responsibility. I always put it on us as men because it's our responsibility. But as a man, I perform all over America.
Yeah.
I do all different types of shows and concerts. If you see these women who are trying to get backstage or trying to get to the back, it's up to the discretion of each man that they come in contact with till they get to us. But usually, if it's a group of women who are attractive, they could go anywhere. Poor. I'm talking about destitute. But if they look good, make themselves look good. And that, mind you, as a woman, you could have an outfit that costs $13. And as long as you look good, every man that you come to is going to be like, oh, yeah, come on.
I mean, man.
And then as men, we all, when they get back there, even if we're not with it, we're going to look and be like, all right, I see why.
Yeah.
I can never do that. If it's the Dana Cortez show, I don't give a fuck how big my dick is or how pretty or attractive I am. I'm not going to be able to make my way into your space simply based off that.
Women don't operate that way.
The way that you have to protect yourself from men is till you get to a point of being protected. Once you protect it, then a man will never be able to make himself available to you simply based off his physical attributes. But on the other hand, it don't matter what level I get to, a bitch that is the poorest, prettiest bitch in whatever city.
She might make her way into
your home. And they expect that. I went viral going back and forth with this girl because she, one of the girls that work on the podcast with us, because she was like, if she is in a town and they live in the same city with a man and he don't let her come to his house, then he's hiding something. And I was like, yeah, my house. I don't know who you are. Just because you have a vagina, I'm supposed to let you into my house? Like, it's crazy.
Men operate that way.
And it's our fault. I always say it's our fault.
It is.
You got to go through a level of, coming up in D.C. and coming up in my environment, I saw a lot of the extreme versions of shit. Like, so I was able to learn. And even in seeing the extreme versions, I still did the shit myself that had to learn. Like, fuck it. They said it's hot. Let me stick my hand in there anyway.
Yeah.
But now I realize, a lot of the shit that we do as men is just instinctive. But it's
not good for what you're trying to do.
It's barbaric in a sense in how we just expose ourselves simply for our egos to be stroked.
Automatic's my husband, but we talk openly here. We have to, right? It's a show. You can't hide anything. He said he was dating a stripper because he wanted a threesome, whatever. He said I couldn't keep up with him. What, the cocaine stories? He hid in the bush from him. It was on a different level. He said it was just too much.
What you're talking about, having access to women and all that, I think, because once you get to a certain stature, you're going to be women just like you. Just when I figured that out, and I figured they wanted to hang out with me no matter what, I didn't want to take them to my house. I'd be like, yeah, you can pay for a hotel. We go hang out.
Yeah, and then you see that type
and then
of
they don't want to hang out too much.
Nah.
They don't
that's
hang
what
out
I'm saying.
Too much
like, you don't get to, as men, we have to take better value and better care of ourselves.
I always say that when we raise boys and girls, boys should be taught to value themselves
as
well.
That's how my mom was.
Yeah.
It's not just girls don't have sex, keep your legs closed. Boys, too. That's why so many men walk away from their children because they're not taught to be responsible and love themselves and what a precious thing they are as well as women. It's not just women that should be taught that.
I mean,
there's a lot of men that walk away from their kids for that reason because they weren't taught to be responsible.
And that's another thing that I've learned, too. Like, my little brother's father, God rest my mother's soul, she just passed in 2021 from COVID, but...
I'm so sorry about that.
What I realized as a man is a lot of the things that I didn't understand as a little boy, you don't understand until you become a man and get out here and really.
And especially when you don't have a man to teach you certain
exactly.
things. That's
now,
the biggest thing.
One thing that I always say, I don't excuse my little brother's father walking away from my little brother because that's my mother and it's my fucking mom. I don't give a fuck what she did.
Yeah.
But I also realize now as a man, I never had to be in a relationship with my mama. So I don't know who she was
as that
emotionally,
woman. Right?
Who she was, and I know that in having relationships of my own, how sometimes you can be like, man, fuck you and that baby,
yeah,
because you don't understand the things that have how difficult a woman can make it for a man to be present if I'm not present on the terms you want me to be present under. Like sometimes, and I've seen it a lot with certain women, if you're not doing what they want you to do, it doesn't matter what you do.
They use the child to hurt you.
To
hurt you. That's what it is.
It doesn't even matter about the child, though. Sometimes, like, my dad left my mom because he just couldn't take it anymore. My mom was way too, like, Christian, and she wanted him to live a certain way and act a certain way, and he just didn't want... He's like, I don't want that life. You can have that life, but right. I'm not going to have... And he ended up leaving her.
Yeah. And that's the thing. You don't understand how that's possible because as a kid, you're like, how could somebody leave my mommy? But that's your mother.
Yeah.
But you ain't never been your mother's boyfriend, so you don't know who she is.
Like, I love my mom to death, but but I could...
You ain't never had to...
When my mom's talking about all the crazy, like, Christian stuff and Catholic stuff, I have learned how to block it out, right?
See, we're given that grace because it's
your
a dictatorship.
That's your mother.
Right.
Yeah. Yes,
you know
yes,
I mean?
Exactly.
It's a dictatorship.
That's mom.
Yeah, but when it's you, when it's
but
not
you
got to
deal with it all day long and all. You don't know what's happening behind the scenes.
How it looks to, you know, the people who had to deal
who
with
it. Who
are
you with now?
Me? Nobody.
You're single?
I'm always going to be single. I don't ever want to be in a relationship.
You don't ever
want to
get married or have no more kids, nothing?
I mean, having kids, maybe, but it's going to be difficult because I have the type of mentality that I have.
You haven't met the right person.
Everybody says that.
It's true.
Why do you say that?
Because I was married twice.
Like Anthony, the guy right here says the exact same
thing. Let me tell you why. Because I got married at 15. First of all, 15, shouldn't be married. What you doing? 15, divorced baby by 16. Got married again because I thought that's what you were supposed to do. Nice guy, right? You're supposed to get married. And then after that, I was like, this is awful. Like, what? This is not good. I'll never get married again until I met my person. Getting married, and we didn't even have to get married. When he asked me, we didn't talk about it. It wasn't like that. I'd never even
thought.
We've
been doing the show longer than we've been
married. Longer than we've been together. And when he asked me, I remember feeling like I'd never felt before. Like, yeah. It was different.
Beautiful.
It was different. It just... I don't know how to explain it. When you know, you'll know. And you'll remember this conversation. I remember Dana Cortez.
That
light-skinned Mexican woman.
I have a different perspective. And people always say that to me as though love is restrictive. And I'm not saying that you are saying it for that reason, but that's just the way it's interpreted in my mind. Because love is restrictive, meaning the only way you can attain true happiness is through the way that I did. Or the way that we do as a society.
No, you're right.
And the other thing women don't understand are men are just wired different. That the way that she feels about a relationship, I love her, but I love her differently than she loves me.
Always, and always will. But that's what makes it work.
Yes.
But the thing about me is I don't ever want any woman to think that she's going to be the only woman that I am going to entertain. And it's not, take the sex out. I lead with that when I meet women because that's usually the elephant in the room that you always have to discuss.
You're open about not wanting to settle down with one person.
But I remove the sexual part of it. When I say entertaining and being with more than one woman, like the way that I I just know how I affect women and how I interact with them and the way that my spirit and my energy affects a woman. I'm not going to be able to stop myself from every woman that approaches me or comes to me for me not to entertain whatever it is she brings
but
to me.
But why should you have to? What's wrong with being friends or close to other women if you're in a relationship?
There are no such things as male-female friends.
There are two. No, yes, there are. No, yes, there are.
I feel like there's like 2-3% of the time you can
I have to. It's family and then it's every. No, if you're not somebody that would disgust me naked, like that's
I have
a friend.
One of my best friends is a man. He's with
men think differently though. No. Because he's right though. I get what you're saying because men think about women differently than women think about men.
Right.
And so
No.
Because I've said this 300 times.
It happens.
Men are friends with women because they haven't had a chance to have sex with them a lot of times.
That's not true. That's not true. Not always.
You're
always. Not always.
How long have you guys been?
Oh my God, we've been friends longer than I've known him.
Yeah, he's never tried.
Never. You. I swear on everything.
And
we stay in the same room together. Never, ever, ever. He's like my brother.
And you,
I love him like my brother.
That's
and
what
he
makes
loves
him
me
your,
like
he's
my
your
sister.
Brother.
Like, yes.
That's different. I have women in my life who. Who I've never and would never have disgust me.
Like
the thought of
they're like family.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's
and
a
that's
good example.
Family.
That is just
that
one.
Is disgusting. Is that? But I would never allow a woman to believe I was her friend because you're not going to utilize the things that make me valuable as a man without me being able to utilize what makes you valuable as a woman. Meaning this, you're not going to be able to get me to come help you move and help you do all of the things. And if you need a little couple of dollars and I'm there for all of that. But then when it's time for me to say, hey, man, you know, I'm friend a little freaky. What's happening? Well, you need to. Ask the person that you're giving what's of value to you. You need to ask them for all the things you're getting from me.
So we're really friends. But you're right. There's only one.
Yes.
Yeah, so that I can think of out of the whole time.
Everybody else, there's no such thing. Like, there's women that you've been with and women that you don't want to be with and women that you can't be with. They're friends to me. A friend. And that's the thing. Women don't even make the... You seem like the type that'll make an effort to be a good friend. Like, learn how to play Madden.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
You know what I mean?
Sure,
the shit that
sure,
we like to,
sure.
like, entrench yourself in what we want
to
do.
She wants to watch HGTV.
Whatever, I'll let you. That's true.
Yeah,
like
you know what I mean? Like, you.
But I'm going to make an effort. I'm going
to
show up
to
the party. I'm going
to
do what I need to do.
Like
yes.
I said earlier, the reason why I fell in love with her is because I could be friends with her first before I could, like, out of everything. Like, I was like, we were really, really good friends.
Y'all was close.
We were cool.
We were really
cool.
You know what? We were friends, and then we had sex. So there you go.
They're right. You see how it happened?
You're right.
And then you end up married.
Yeah.
So it's like, I just don't ever want to do, I don't ever want to put myself in a position.
When you get married.
No.
When you get married, I'm going to call you, and you better answer the phone.
If I get married, I don't even know what to bet that is of, if
nothing,
I get
we don't
married,
bet.
I'll fist
we don't
fight
bet.
Him.
The Samoan
I'll
with a bonnet.
I'll fist fight him and his family, and I know they all big. Everybody. Back to back. Until I win a fight, I will just, it doesn't matter how bad it's not going to happen.
I'm going to follow you right now on Instagram. I'm going to follow you right now. No, we're going to do this right now.
It's a business arrangement that I don't ever want to make.
All right.
I get it because,
you know what? I'm going to tell you this.
It's a lifestyle that you choose.
Yeah, this is the reason why I feel like divorce is so high in America, and I'm going to let y'all get back to work.
This is work. I love it.
This is the reason why I feel like divorce is so high in America. I believe divorce is so high in America because you don't have to get divorced the way you get married. Meaning, if everybody that got an invitation to your wedding also got an invitation to come
to your
divorce proceeding, just the same way you made me sit down and watch you tell the pastor and each other how
forever
much you love
and
each other and forever, I get to come sit in the courtroom and watch the judge listen to y'all tell each other why you can't stand each other no more. And you gotta feed me. You gotta give me the
all
2 hours.
Of that. You gotta go
DJ.
Through all of that.
And divorce party.
Before
like,
you can split.
The divorce has to be like the wedding. When we, instead of coming to the church or wherever we having it, we come to the courtroom. We watch y'all give y'all vows of why you can't stand each other. Then we go to the reception, and the reception is the divorce reception.
Then you're divorced.
You get to come out to your divorce song. You get to come out to your divorce song. You have your first fuck yous. And in front of everybody, and then people wouldn't get married.
You know, interesting,
people wouldn't get divorced.
I just revealed to you that I was married twice before.
Right.
A young
Could you
mother,
imagine?
All of that. 15. Anyway, no, I can't. But let me tell you something. When he asked me to marry him, it was not nice. He didn't get on a knee. We was holding grocery, whatever. And he said, Well, I'm going to tell you something. I'm only doing this once.
Yeah.
Because I had been divorced. Because it was that, he felt like it was that easy for me, right? Mm-hmm. And when you make that kind of promise, you do it because you love somebody. And it's a guilty feeling. Maybe if you can't commit, like you're saying, it's better. Because if you fail, you do feel bad.
No.
You don't.
Obviously not.
But like, you don't have to get married to have
I have relationships with every woman that I deal with. But the thing is like, I always say, never underestimate how quickly your soulmate will turn into your roommate. Because most people are building their foundations on bullshit. I don't lead with any lies. So who you see is who you get. Like, you learn to love me for who I am. There's no way that a woman could ever look at me and think that I'm not somebody who cares about her, because I would never put your emotions in a place where you can be hurt by something that you don't know. Right. No victims, only volunteers. You'll never be a victim to no bullshit, only a volunteer to the truth. And
sometimes the truth hurts, but I'd rather have the truth than lies that are just.
I don't care if I'm this is how much I move around. I was in Baltimore, I'm in Tempe. I'm in Louisville next weekend. Like, I'm all over the place. If you got somebody that's in your town, that's your man while you there, I don't give a fuck. I don't care, as long as he not mad when it's my turn.
Right.
Like, I don't care. I don't have the same restrictive. I don't know. You know, one thing I always like to think is, like, the world is the world. It's going to spin whether or not we on it or not. But our world is our responsibility.
That's right.
And I know what I see when I look at you, when I look at my man, I look at him. I'm only going to be able to see it from that vantage point. So my vantage point is what it is. Now, mind you, how you return the sight of me is totally depicted upon how I treat you.
Right,
and
absolutely.
And I feel like if I treat you the way that you're supposed to be treated from my world, then there's no way that I ever need to, you know, make a contract with a woman.
I think it is just as simple as you treat people the way you want to be treated. You're upfront the moment you meet this person. No lies.
None.
That's the best thing. I know sometimes it hurts, but it's better to be told the truth than to be led through a forest of
bullshit.
And, absolutely.
You know, you learn that in my experience being this way, because I haven't been in a relationship since I was 23 years old. You know what I mean? So it's like,
I think though, being like that and being that upfront and honest with women, you're going to get a whole different woman. Like, the way they react to you.
Because
you don't put any expectations on it. They know not to put any expectations on it. And so you're just hanging out, having
and
a good
you're
time.
Creating something that's genuine. And you know that, you know, the best part of it is that it's no wasted time.
Like, yeah.
That's the only thing we can't get back, is wasted time. If I waste your time and
most
you
most valuable
believe,
commodity on the planet.
It's the most valuable thing that we have. So I'm not into wasting my time. I'm definitely not into wasting nobody else's. So if a woman can understand that, then, you know, it makes it easier. It makes it easier for you to. But you also, as a man, have to be okay with your ego being in check, because you're going to get a lot more no's than you'll ever get yeses. Like, if I was just
it's
on
different
numbers.
Different for men and women.
Yeah,
it's
if
different.
I was just on numbers or trying to be slick, then I would just, even if I lied a little bit, I mean, the numbers would be astronomical, but I'm not into pretending to be somebody that I'm not for you to like me. If you don't like who I am, then I'm not the person for you. Go find who that person is.
Right.
Don't waste any time over here. You're not going to change me. You're not the person that's going to make my perspective different. It's not going to happen. Don't try. I say this immediately. Don't think that, oh, well, you just ain't met me yet. No, I'm going to meet somebody else who's going to feel the same way. And if she, in the back of her mind, wants to take that challenge, then both of y'all are just going to be hurt when you find out.
I still say one day you might not get married, but you're going to find your person.
I found a couple of people. And they're still around. Like, I love them to death. Two of them got boyfriends now. I don't give a fuck. That's what I believe in that. If I'm not willing to give you what you're looking for,
you
gotta
go get it. Yeah, you gotta
find
it.
And I'm not gonna be the one to stand in the way. But the difference between me and most men is that even though they have boyfriends, and if I ever needed them and called them for something, then they would show up for me and vice versa. But it doesn't have to be any of the things that make people feel like the value of a relationship, any of that, like sex, or I don't give a fuck about none of that. I'm talking about
that's true friendship. I think that's what you were alluding to, Automatic.
That's love
between
to
us.
Me. You
I
know
love
what I
mean? It. Like, he's my best friend now. People always say, how do you work with him every day? Because he's my friend.
That is impressive.
He's my friend.
I will say that is impressive. I thought y'all was just fucking with me at first.
No.
But, like, y'all really, that's amazing. That's very
every
difficult
single
to do.
Day. It is, but he'll
we have
he'll
other, like, but like, so I DJ, obviously. I'm a DJ for the Suns. I DJ, I go tour, all that shit. And so I have be able to live another life.
But you still call me when you're done.
But
every night.
I call the second
what
I'm
doing?
Done. Hey, what are you doing?
And we
second
talk.
I walk out the club, second up. But because I want to talk. I want to tell her what happened.
Right.
Yeah. Like last night after the game, I was like, oh, this and this, blah 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 blah. And she like now she actually cares about basketball.
So I it's even like care somebody about, yeah, I can talk yeah, to. You know, so
all the way.
I hope you find that person.
I mean,
persons.
I found a couple of persons, and they would be very offended, Dana Cortez, that you're not giving them their credit right now.
No.
I want to ask you one thing about the podcast. How did you guys make it pop off the way you did?
We didn't. God did.
Because that, like, because the numbers you guys are putting up there, what, like.
We had no idea, G. Like, we would be lying. We all came from Wildin' Out together.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was an inception of, it was the brainchild mm-hmm. of Carlos. Mm-hmm. Carlos knew and had to, because he's our elder in comedy, you know what I mean? He's been doing it longer than me and Fly.
Because everybody guy. And their mama you know doing podcasts, but it, the tough but, part is getting people to listen.
Yeah, exactly. When we first started, that wasn't the case. You know, it wasn't as prevalent.
How long have you guys been doing it for?
Since 2015.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so you guys had it.
So, you know what I mean? It's been.
When did the numbers take off?
When we started doing the live shows.
Oh, really?
When we started doing the live three-man shows where we, you know, like went to the comedy club. We started in the comedy club doing the three-man shows, and that's when it took off as far as people noticing that we were doing that outside of the Wildin' Out because we already had a big, huge brand that we were a part of. Mm-hmm. So it was when we started doing the live shows that it kind of, you know, like what's this? And everybody started to pay attention to the difference.
Automatic asking because we just started our podcast, too.
And then when the pandemic hit,
that's when it
and studio stuff.
Oh, it just went.
That's when it.
Yeah.
That's when I got more hip to it because I knew who you were because I've known Charlamagne since he lived in South Carolina.
Oh yeah.
And so I knew who you were, but then I noticed motherfuckers are taking off. Like, off.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll take some photos. Honestly,
and then I saw when you guys were at the footprint. I was like, too. When TC looks good in footprint.
Yeah, exactly. So it's like it just honestly it just
looks even better.
I think the
looks
energy
really
of it, like what y'all got going, just from sitting in here with y'all gonna be straight. Just keep.
We
doing
just
it.
Started the national show, like you
just
know.
Keep going because
I ain't gonna
the
lie,
people
though, it's
are gonna
tough.
Pick up on that.
We just talked about the woman thing, being Mexican American woman.
Yeah.
In radio, it just does not exist on hip hop. Like it's just not,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it's hard.
It's gonna pick up, trust me.
But we got a good radio show.
The energy is what the most important part is. But we had no idea that shit was going. We knew it was gonna be cool to do it. It'd be something that was for us.
Yeah.
But like you said, the footprint and
when you do it for you,
yeah,
you guys did it out of the strength,
out of pure love, and if you're doing it out of pure love, it's gonna work, G.
Let's go take some photos.